Good to see so many family and friends and people that we know. I'm especially looking at my friend Wes Youngberg. And I point him out because we were neighbors in the island of Guam. So if you want to know anything about Wes, just come talk to me. I'll let you know. I remember one night, I have to tell you, I went to go visit Wes. It was at night. And there's brown tree snakes on the island of Guam. And I distinctly remember the night I went to open his doorknob and there was a brown tree snake wrapped around the doorknob. And I just about reached in the dark to open it, and I took my hand right away. And I remember, Wes, I said, there's a snake wrapped around your doorknob. Please come out. So we had some good times, wonderful times there in the island of Guam and Guam Micronesia Mission. I bring you greetings today from the Chico SDA Spanish Church. Feliz Sábado, for those of you that speak Spanish. And I also bring you greetings from the Sons of Abraham in the country or the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. About a week ago, my father-in-law and I visited for 8 days that kingdom, and we found there the descendants of Abraham. As you recall, Saudi Arabia are the descendants of Ishmael, and they're also the descendants of Abraham's second wife, Keturah, if you remember from the Bible. So truly, they are the sons of Abraham. And we found Saudi Arabia to be a very safe and wonderful place. The people were very hospitable. They have the hospitality of their father, Abraham. Everywhere you go, they invite you to come to their house and eat. Very kind people. And they are people who are God-fearing people. Very interested in holiness. So interested in holiness that they have lots of rules to protect their holiness. No movies. No movies. Although I heard in the news that they just opened up a theater in Riyadh. But for years, there has been no movies allowed. No unclean meats. No alcohol. And women are encouraged to cover themselves so as to not attract attention that's not needed from men. They take their holiness very seriously. We should pray for our brothers in Saudi Arabia. I really believe that they are ripe for the gospel. Their mind is focused on God. They pray 5 times a day. They have a culture of holiness. And I know the Lord Jesus Christ is going to use that to reach many of them. So keep them in your prayers. This morning, we want to talk to you a little bit about guarding the avenues of the mind. Speaking of guarding the avenues of the mind, I want to talk to you about the most important organ in the body and what God has asked us to do with that. Everybody, make 2 fists and put them together. If you look at your hands, that's the size of your brain. Doesn't seem very big, does it? But that organ is the most complex and incredible organ in the world. If men could make a computer that does all the things that your brain does, it would have to be the size of the Empire State Building. You have an amazing machine, an amazing computer inside of your skull and inside of my skull. The brain only weighs 3 pounds, yet it contains 10 billion neurons, and it has 10 trillion connections. Can you imagine? It's a very sophisticated organ that the Lord has given us. There are different regions of the brain, but the one that's most important is the frontal lobe. That's the part that's right behind your forehead. And why is that so important? Because scientists have seen that the frontal lobe is the center of spirituality, morality, and the will. It is where we make our decisions. It is where we submit ourselves to God. It is where we have the will to do what we want to do. It is also the center of freedom of choice. The frontal lobe is what separates us from animals. If you do a comparative study of the size of the frontal lobe, you will see that a cat has a frontal lobe that only comprises 3.5% of his brain. A dog has 7% of his brain as the frontal lobe. A monkey, 17%. But human beings, 1/3 of our brain is frontal lobe. That's how important judgment and will and morality is for us. God created us with a large frontal lobe. The importance of the frontal lobe can be demonstrated by the story of Phineas Gage. I'm sure some of you have heard of this story. Phineas Gage was a God-fearing family man who worked in the 1800s in the railroad constructions here in the West. He was placing dynamite to build a tunnel when the dynamite went off, and he was holding a metal rod, and that metal rod pierced through his eye and through his frontal lobe. He survived, amazingly, this accident. But something happened because of the injury that was the insult that occurred to his frontal lobe. Phineas Gage became a womanizer and a drunkard. And he used to be a God-fearing man that went to church, and he stopped going to church. And this personality change was due to the destruction of his frontal lobe. The restraint that used to be there was gone. You can see why our frontal lobe is so important to both God and man. In fact, that frontal lobe is what separates us from the beast. It's what gives us our freedom of choice. It is the throne of the body. It is the place where our God wants to reign. It is the holiest of holies. If our body is the sanctuary, our frontal lobe is the holy of holiest, where the law of God should be written. There are several important principles that we learn from the scriptures concerning our mind. Number one, the mind controls the body, not the other way around. The body does not control the mind, but the mind controls the body. Therefore, it is very important to have God control our minds. The five senses are the gateways to this important organ, to the frontal lobe. Everything that we see, everything that we eat, that we listen to, that we taste, that we touch, all of these are the gateways to the control of our frontal lobe or our mind. All right. Our mind feeds, it eats whatever comes in through those five senses. And that is very important. Our mind will either grow or it will degenerate depending on what we feed it. So our frontal lobe is always going to be in a constant flux of growth, either negatively or positively, strengthening it or weakening the resolve, morality, or will that occurs inside of our brain. Would you feed garbage to a newborn infant? No. Why? Because we want to provide the best nutrition possible to that newborn baby and to that new mind. But yet, what kind of food are we feeding our brain? There is a saying, garbage in, garbage what? That's right. The Bible agrees with this principle. Whatever we put into our brain, whatever we feed our frontal lobe, is going to come out in our words and our actions. Interestingly, the average American child will witness more than 200,000 violent acts and 16,000 murders on television before the age of 18. This has got to have a profound effect, not only on our thoughts, but on our actions. Scientific studies show that children who watch TV use more alcohol and tobacco and start having intimate relations at a younger age, most likely due to their TV watching. Books and magazines, pornography and novels are very, very popular. Occult books are amongst the best sellers. Music, back in 1995, and I'm sure it's worse today, only 25% of the most popular CDs had lyrics that were free of violence, immorality, and profanity. So we see we are living in a culture of crisis where what is entering into our brain is not good food for our frontal lobe. All right. Thank you. Not only is the contents of the lyrics bad for us, but even the rhythms and the tones of music we listen to can affect our thoughts and actions. This can be seen, or this is well known by pagan religions and popular music songwriters. The underlying beats actually have an effect on our brain waves. I remember as a child, we lived near Wild Safari Park near Orange County, California. And they had elephants there. And next to the wild animal park, there was a rock concert stadium. And I remember that one night on a Friday night, they were having such a loud rock concert that the elephants became so agitated at the wild animal park, when the trainer came to feed them, they trampled the trainer to death. Now, if elephants are affected by rock music in that way, how do you think our children are affected by rock music? We need only turn on the music and you will see the effects that it has both on thoughts and behavior. Our diet can also affect our thoughts and our actions, which is pretty scary. That's another entrance to our frontal lobe. Stimulating foods such as meat, spicy foods, caffeine, and sugar can affect both body and mind. You can ask any parent, especially a mother, what happens if you give your children high amounts of sugar? How do they behave? It doesn't take a scientist to figure that one out. You can ask any parent. Ah, Sister White has an interesting quote. She says, "If the Israelites had been given the diet to which they had been accustomed while in Egypt, they would have exhibited the unmanageable spirit that the world is exhibiting today. The human family as it is today is an illustration of what the children of Israel would have been if God had allowed them to eat the food and follow the habits and customs of the Egyptians." What was the diet of the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness? Manna and water. No pizza, no Coca-Cola. No energy drinks when they woke up in the morning. No coffee. God knows what he's doing. Drugs and alcohol can also affect both body and mind. This is a very interesting, this is a test of brain activity, metabolic activity occurring in the brain. And on your left, you can see the brain activity of a normal person. The white splotches represent metabolic activity. That person is using their brain. And then you see the person on your right is a former drug user. And you can see there that the brain activity in there is lessened very dramatically. There's no question. Our thoughts and our actions can be affected by the things we put into our body. And if we see the next slide here, this is the effects of methamphetamine. I got these from the internet, and you can see someone before they used methamphetamines and 4 years later. There's no question, body and mind have been affected. Same for this female, 2.5 years after beginning the use of methamphetamines. We can go to the next slide. Here we see young children in a Central American country. Do you know what they're doing? They are inhaling something. What are they inhaling? Paint fumes, propane fumes. It seems like so innocent, but yet the toxins that are in those fumes penetrate the nervous system, and they can stay in the nervous system forever. Terrible, terrible effects. Oh, this is an interesting experiment. Scientists actually injected spiders with different chemicals to see how they would react. So in the first spider web, on your left at the top, you can see the spider made their web normally. But after being on marijuana, look at the spider web of the spider. And I especially like the one on the bottom to your left, the caffeine spider. If you don't think caffeine affects your mind, just look at these spider webs from the spiders. We'll go to the next one. All right, 50%. We are told 50% of all violent crimes involve drugs and alcohol. That means if we had restrictions on drugs and alcohol, we would have 50% less crime and accidents. That is an outstanding figure. We see the same thing for automobile accidents. Same thing for hospitalizations and injuries. A great number of them are due to alcohol and to drug abuse. Brain development and the risk of addiction. This is very, very interesting. Our brain develops in stages. And we'll see the next slide here. On the bottom here of the scale, you see that the physical coordination part of our brain develops first. Then the motivation part, the emotional part, and the last part of our brain to develop is which part? The judgment from the frontal lobe. So when you're 18 years old, you are very physically strong, you have good emotions, good coordination, but you have terrible judgment. How many of you can agree to that by personal experience? Isn't that right? They say that 18-year-olds make great soldiers. You tell them to charge, and what do? They charge. But you tell a 28-year-old with kids to charge, and what does he do? He questions and says, why? Why should I charge? So the frontal lobe is not developed about to the age 24, but I have my suspicions that females develop their frontal lobe before males. I think that males probably take about another 3 years to develop their frontal lobes. Ladies, do you agree with me? Yeah. Amen. See, the ladies agree. Next slide. This is the reason, the lack of frontal lobe judgment is the reason young people tend to do things without thinking. They're still developing their frontal lobe. We need the energy of the youth, but they need to be directed by experience. Amen? Didn't Sister White say something like that? Amen, she did. Next one. The younger you start to use drugs and alcohol, the higher the chance that you will become an addict because of the lack of the frontal lobe. You can see that when people begin drinking at a younger age, less than 12 or 12 to 14, their chance of becoming an alcoholic is much higher than if they begin drinking alcohol at age 21 or higher. This is related to the gateway theory of drug progression, that if you start with lower, less strong drugs that will stimulate you to use harder and harder drugs. For example, you might start drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, and that will lead you to harder liquor, and that may lead you to illicit drugs, and finally to some hardcore substances like cocaine. Next one. So what does the Bible tell us? What does God tell us? He says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The counsel of the Lord is eternal. Daniel proposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel understood the connection between mind and body. First Peter tells us, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Just say no, the Apostle Peter tells us. Whether therefore you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I often ask the kids at school or at my church, can you get high to the glory of God? Can you get drunk to the glory of God? It's obvious that everything that we do must bring honor and glory to God. Very important to know that our actions begin as thoughts. That's very, very important. The things that we say and do first begin as thoughts. Is God interested in our thoughts? We read in Chronicles, the Lord searcheth all hearts, and he understandeth all the imaginations of the what? The thoughts. Yes, God is very interested in what we think. The importance of our thoughts. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You are what you think. If you think bad things, we will be what? Bad. If we think on good things, we will be good. If we think on pure things, we will be pure. If we look at impure things, we will be what we think. We will be impure. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. What comes out of our heart is what's in our mind. Bad thoughts become bad actions. We see that in the book of Genesis. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's why they were wicked, because they were continually thinking on wicked things. Bad thoughts lead to sin. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Thoughts are very important. By beholding, we are changed. Here you see a picture of the ex-governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, on your right. And to the left, you have an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonator. He's doing a pretty good job, isn't he? Now, why? You know, I had a friend. I'll give you another example. When we were young, he pretty much idolized Michael Jordan, the basketball player. You all know who Michael Jordan is, right? So he used to dress with Michael Jordan shoes. He would dress in Chicago Bulls clothes. He would walk like Michael Jordan. He used to talk like Michael Jordan. And he used to try and play basketball like Michael Jordan. Well, after a while, he shaved his head. And guess what he used to look like? He started looking like Michael Jordan. He was becoming transformed into what he was beholding. And the same principle occurs in our lives and in our hearts. We must decide what we are going to behold, what it is that we're going to think on. How to have a clean mind. The psalmist tells us, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Amen? No wicked thing. And I think that's the idea in Saudi Arabia, right? No movies. Cover up, you know, dress in a way that doesn't attract unwanted attention. They are trying not to set anything evil before their eyes. It's okay, the next one. Romans tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in holiness. God is interested in our holiness. Therefore, our thoughts need to be holy. Set your affection on things where? Above. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Amen? There's a text that I didn't put in here. I just thought about it. Paul tells Timothy, flee from youthful lusts. Do you remember reading that? He says, flee. He doesn't say, you know, stay away. He says, flee. And it reminds me of Joseph. When Joseph was confronted with Potiphar's wife and her advances, what did he do? He fled. He ran for his life. He understood that he was very close to forbidden ground and that his life was in play. Yes, next one. Ah, the example of the Ephesians. You remember when Paul preached in Ephesus, a great revival began, and the Ephesians brought their magic books and burned them. It says, many of them which also use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. It reminds me of a week of prayer that we had at Pacific Union College when I was a student. Pastor Doug Batchelor came, and he preached hard. And at the end of the week, I remember, he made a call for us to bring all of our CDs, our videos, cassette tapes, anything that we had in our possession that might inhibit us from keeping our thoughts on God. I'll never forget that. He invited us to do that, and we were going to have a big bonfire and burn them. And I remember going back to my dorm room, and I had a box full of, it was about $1,000 worth of musical CDs, rock and roll CDs, and videos. I put them in a box, and I brought them, and we destroyed them. It was one of the best things I ever did. I felt a weight lifted off my shoulders. Do not venture onto the devil's ground. David, the psalmist, tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen? Amen. God has a secret. God's word can keep us clean. My grandma made me memorize this text in Spanish. Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Amen. God's word cleanses us. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wow, those are powerful words. There's even a promise to us living in the last days. You know, Sister White says that our bread and our water will be sure. But it's interesting what Isaiah says. He says, he that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Amen? Wow. Another powerful text. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Beautiful promise from Isaiah. So what should we feed our minds? Well, we should study the scriptures and the law of God. Amen? We should study the plan of salvation. We should study the life of Christ. And we should make the natural world our study. Because the natural world speaks of its creator and teaches us of his principles and of his love. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Men, do you think that includes soap operas? Mr. Kelly says probably not. Okay. What will happen if we follow God's advice? Our faith and our love will grow. How many of you want to have more faith and love? Amen? Our prayers will become more fervent and intelligent. We will experience the power of God. We will desire to be more like Christ. And we will want to share Jesus with others. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. If we go back to that promise from the book of Revelation, that comes at the very end of the Bible almost. It's almost the last verse. It's in the last chapter. And the promise is those who keep their frontal lobe fixed on Jesus Christ will bear his name or his character. And those who do that will see him face to face. Is it worth the sacrifice? The Lord God is calling us. I learned a great lesson from our friends in Saudi Arabia. They're trying very hard to keep their heart and mind pure for God. And I almost feel like they're doing a better job sometimes than we are. That openness to God and to his purity will lead them, I believe, to Jesus Christ. And I believe the same is true for us. If we leave behind the things of the world and we focus on God and his scriptures, that will lead us to Jesus Christ. And it will lead us to the sanctification and the holiness that God desires for his children. I pray that God will bless you and that we will be pure and holy when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven.